Exodus 26, verses 15 through 30, these are God's words. And for the tabernacle you shall make the boards of acacia wood standing upright. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and 1.5 cubits shall be the width of each board. 2 tenons shall be in each board for binding one to another. Thus you shall make for all the boards of the tabernacle. You shall make the boards for the tabernacle. 20 boards for the south side. You shall make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards for the south side. You shall make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under each of the boards for its 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle, the north side, there shall be 20 boards, and there 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under each of the boards. For the far side of the tabernacle westward, you shall make 6 boards, and you shall also make 2 boards for the 2 back corners of the tabernacle. They shall be coupled together at the bottom, and they shall be coupled together at the top by 1 ring. Thus it shall be for both of them. They shall be for the 2 corners. So there shall be 8 boards with their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under each of the boards. And you shall make bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards on the one side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the boards on the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle for the far side westward. The middle bar shall pass through the midst of the boards from end to end. You shall overlay the boards with gold, and make their rings of gold as holders for the bars, and overlay the bars with gold. And you shall raise up the tabernacle according to its pattern which you were shown on the mountain. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So far the tent has been fairly light, fairly mobile, fairly modular, and he's actually used the word for the covering of a tent that we have translated in the previous passage as curtains to describe the covering. And so he's emphasized to us that the tent is very mobile, which by contrast in this passage makes us to be impressed with how solid and unlike others' tents it is. Yes, God is going to dwell, as it were, in a tent, or at least make his presence known in a tent. But this tent is going to have these massive 15-foot-long boards of heavy acacia wood and be covered in gold. And so he's emphasizing a couple things about this tent of his. The first is that God's tent is a tent of strength. Where portability has been such a priority now, the weight and length of these boards in and of themselves, and then their weight after overlaying them with gold, will be very impressive. At least a 2-man job if there are 2 very strong men, maybe a 3 or 4-man job just to carry 1 board. And you can imagine the impression given about the Lord's tent that just one of these dozens of boards has multiple men, as Israel are moving through the wilderness, groaning, grunting under the weight of the board, the strength and the solidity of God's presence among his people, communicates the greatness of God and the permanence and strength of our God among his people. And now we don't carry around boards, and certainly not acacia wood boards overlaid with gold, but the Lord has given us a tabernacle, a tent, that is much stronger than one that has these boards for side paneling. He himself, in his almighty strength, is now the tabernacle in Jesus Christ. John 1:14 reminds us that the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. It uses the word for tent, where many translations will say dwelt among us. It uses the word for tent, tented, or tabernacled among us. And Hebrews chapters 8 and 9 spends two chapters on how the tabernacle was a foretaste of the good thing which was to come, the heavenly reality of which it was a copy. And Revelation 21 and verse 3 announces the tabernacle of God is with man. Jesus himself is the tabernacle. Jesus himself is the temple. The fullness of the Godhead, the apostle says, dwells in him bodily. And of course, the Lord Jesus, who said that by his spirit through the apostle, said himself with his own lips, destroy this temple and I will raise it up again in 3 days. And John chapter 2 tells us that he was speaking of the temple of his body. And so you have this this very kind of strong temple with its primary, or tabernacle, with its primary structural component being these metal overlaid acacia wood tenons in sockets assembled with two boards reinforcing the back corners, very strong raw materials, very strong construction, and yet the true and everlasting tabernacle is much stronger. It's built out of Jesus. He is, as the when the New Testament uses the metaphor not of tabernacle or, but of temple, he is the foundation and the chief cornerstone, out of which and upon which and into which, chief capstone, into which all of the temple is built. Indeed, we sometimes tell the joke, if the black box always survives the plane crash, why not build the whole plane out of the black box? Well, the whole temple is actually built out of Christ, isn't it? Because we are living stones who are fashioned and fit together by the Lord as we are conformed more and more to Christ. And it's his life by which we live, and it's only his goodness that is produced in us. We don't have any goodness of our own. This is our destiny, that we would be conformed to the image of his son, that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And this is why the temple at the last is described in such glorious terms in the closing section of Revelation. 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 17, Ephesians 2, 14 through 22, 1 Peter 2, 4 through 10, all describing how we are built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And the temple of God is his son and those who are united to him and conformed to him. So, yes, the tabernacle for a tent was a marvelously strong tent. That's the big thing. About the boards, or one of the two main things about the boards in this passage, but how much stronger is the everlasting tabernacle and temple of God. And then it's not just a tent of strength. God's tent is also a tent of splendor. Note that although the sockets which receive the tenons that are underneath the boards are made out of silver, maybe because they're going to be in the dirt, or who knows why, but they're made out of silver, which isn't that inexpensive unless Solomon's reigning, then it's just like stones. The boards themselves are overlaid with gold, and the rings for the bars that go through the boards to hold them up and reinforce them are, the rings are made of gold, and the bars are overlaid with gold. And so thinking about the furnishings that are made with gold and the light that would be given off by the lamp, remember the tree lamp or the lamp tree? And then the ceiling with the finely woven linen and shimmering white for that to reflect on. And now we find out all of the walls inside are going to be overlaid with gold. And what a heavenly, glorious display that would be. And yet it's not so heavenly. It's not so heavenly as the Lord Jesus himself, who is the glory of God that we behold in worship. It's not so heavenly as holiness, which we have in the Lord Jesus. And we worship the Lord not in the beauty, comparatively mundane beauty of an entirely golden room with golden furnishings and the oil lamp light shimmering off of all of it. But we worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, where he himself is the glory of his tabernacling among us. And we shine with the glory of Christ, even as the Lord has already made us to know the light of the knowledge of his glory, to shine in our hearts in the face of Jesus Christ. And so this outward visible glory is appropriate to the age of the church in which we're in Exodus chapter 26. 2 Corinthians 3, 14 and 15, Galatians 3, 22 to 25, and Galatians 4, just a few verses later, and verses 1 through 3, and Hebrews 10, verse 1. All of these passages describe the age of the church in Exodus 26 as being an age of infancy, still needing to be under the schoolmaster, the guide, who once the church has grown out of its childishness and its use of pictures, like a kid who they love the picture book. Why? Because they don't know how to read yet. They can't make sense of the words. And so they have their understanding is limited to the images on the page, rather than having an entire world opened up by words. Well, there's something even greater than the world of imagination, though you wouldn't think it to hear people talk to children about imagination, how wonderful that is. But our imaginations are nothing close to the reality of Jesus. And he is the one whom we see by way of words, the plain speaking of the truth. And so God has replaced the picture book of his people with a mechanism and attendance of the Spirit that presents in greater fullness the glory of the Lord Jesus. This is why, now that Jesus has come, now that the revelation has been completed and we know who it is, in who is the tabernacle of God among us, and who it is in whom we become the temple of God, that he has taken away these things. The glory is less outward, but it's more full. The glory is less outward, but it comes with final and completed and full evidence. The glory is less outward, but in the providence of God and his plan for the age of the gospel and the attendance of the Spirit as the poured out Spirit of the risen Christ in greater saving efficacy among his church. Now, what time do you live in? Do you live in tabernacle time? Or do you live in risen, ascended, enthroned Jesus and poured out Holy Spirit and completed Bible time? You live in the second one, don't you? And so there's a greater strength and a greater glory that is presented to us. And we should seek from God the Holy Spirit that faith in Christ to be sure of the strength, the enduring and powerful and undefeatable presence of the Lord Jesus among his people, of God among his people in the Lord Jesus, and the unimaginable glory of the Lord Jesus, that the Spirit would communicate to us a reality by his word that is beyond our ability to imagine, and that he would make our hearts to know the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Let's ask God to do that. Our Father, you are the one who appoints to us the boundaries and time of our dwelling, and you've picked for us to dwell now, a time in which you dwell among your people, you tabernacle among your people in Jesus and by your Spirit. And we look forward to the day when our faith shall be sight, and we ask that you would be preparing us for that day by so strengthening our faith and giving us that heart and faith perception of Christ's glory, that the visible glory would be to us something that participates in but cannot exceed the greatness of the glory that you have made us to know by faith. So help us, Lord, because we are such sensory people, so tied down to and easily impressed by the things that our eyes see and our minds imagine. And grant to us to grow up into faith and not to be children any longer. Mature us in our confidence and knowledge of your strength. Mature us in our adoration and knowledge of your glory. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.